from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I want to get back to that. Ramsey's waiting for us, 916-909-1320. What's up, Ramsey?
Just when you were talking about baseball, it made me think about this article that I saw this morning that Jesse Rogers, that covers the Chicago Cubs and Major League Baseball, wrote, potentially bringing in a new rule of having starting pitchers go at least six innings, potentially starting in 2025, unless they get blasted for four runs before six innings, or other injury caveats. Me personally, I think that's asinine. That's, again, taken away from the purity of Major League Baseball. For example, I'm not trying to bring it up or rub it in because it frustrated me. Robbie Ray last night got lit up in the first inning. Yeah, he gave up more than four runs, so it would apply. But if something like that happens, you should be able to take out your pitcher whenever you want to, rather than be dictated, oh, he has to go six. If he doesn't have it, and he's three innings in, you should be able to take him out rather than being dictated that he has to go six innings.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I don't like that being a rule, right? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I feel like I understand, you know, where that may come on, Katrina. Don't do that. I understand where that they could be coming from with that, because they might be trying to lean into like my displeasure of starting pitchers not like being starting pitchers and going six, seven innings anymore. But I don't know if that's the way to go about it. I don't necessarily like that, but yeah, it's a problem. Maybe whoever wrote that recognizes the same thing that I do, or feels the same way that I do. That is a problem that, you know, used to be able to have these starting pitchers that would, you know, be marquee matchups in a series, you know what I mean? And now you don't know who's pitching from game to game, and when they do, they're out by the fourth inning, fifth inning. That's not the baseball I grew up on. Speaking of the baseball I grew up on, did you see that video that was circulating yesterday of Barry Bonds and Greg Maddux watching their at bat? That was pretty cool. That should have been more than a minute and a half. Give me 20 minutes.
Yeah, you could do that. Two. Could be a series.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
That was
right
really
there.
Good.
That's good stuff. Back to the Cowboys stuff. There was a question on, well, I don't know where it was. I might have been reading about it on Pro Football Talk. I don't even know if it was framed as a question, because Florio doesn't ask questions because he knows everything. He made it as a statement. I like Mike Florio. I read that website every day.
A little annoying, but he's good.
He's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until today. Apparently, the Cowboys and CD are like $2 million apart.
Oh.
Like,
that's kind of
from what I understand. So if I have this right, I think this is the Dallas Fort Worth News.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is at $33 million, CeeDee and his people are at 35 million. That's obviously, I don't know why average annual value have become such a, I don't know why that's become the thing over guarantees lately, but it is. It's the new hotness, and it's what you're seeing in all these discussions, especially with wide receivers. I guess. This is a joke. Are you serious?
That's crazy.
And they, and Mike asked the question, like, at this point, Jerry's just doing it because it gets him attention. He's going to ultimately give CeeDee Lamb what he wants, just like he did Zeke, just like he did Dak, and just like he did Emmitt Smith. He just loves all the attention. This is keeping the Cowboys, this is keeping their situation at the top of every NFL broadcast. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL season. The Cowboys, a now one of one, $10 billion franchise.
That's crazy, man.
He bought that for like $120 million.
Oh, man.
Insane. Wow. Absolutely insane. Then I started thinking about who can afford a sports franchise anymore? Like, the pool was already extremely limited.
Yeah.
Now you're getting into valuations of $10 plus billion. Who's like, yeah, I want one of those?
Well, man, now it feels like maybe there's like 50 people in America, at least, that could do it. But then you have to piece up with people,
like it's billionaires unite.
Yeah, and those, I don't know what they're called, not tech firms, but you know, like it's going to be agencies and companies. Like, what's the oh, Jesse's not there, but what is it, the Fenway Group or something like
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that. It's not Vivek Ranadive anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's these groups and these businesses buy these teams. That's crazy.
A $2 million difference that's between CeeDee and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's – it's the same problem I have potentially with the Brandon Ayuk thing. And I look at – honestly, that's where I look at the team. Like, just give them the $2 million. Like, or $2 million annually.
Or make it look like however it has to look.
Yeah, like if it's that type of difference – What are you guys doing? You guys have all the money. Like, what are you doing skimping on a couple of million? And like Florio said, like you mentioned, it could be, you know, an attention thing. It could be that. It could be a situation where Jerry's like, hey, I know CD's gonna be here, you know, by the third preseason game or by week one, you know.
Well,
stay in the news.
Interestingly, I kind of went down this rabbit hole because I was looking up Raiders stuff. Of course, the Raiders play the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Raiders, Antonio Pierce playing everybody. You're playing Friday. I think the only one who not really sure is Devontae. I don't think Devontae wants to play, but his plan is to play everybody.
Yeah,
and the Cowboys, they're not playing anyone. So I don't know if that's their approach to the entire.
That would
preseason?
Yeah, I was about to think that would probably mean Dak ain't playing at all.
Not playing.
And, but I'm saying not at all the whole preseason. Oh, I don't think he plays the third game.
Mm-hmm.
So because usually now without the
right.
the third game is it, then nobody.
Yeah,
plays.
No one's playing.
That would be interesting. That's like Sean McVay. You see, speaking of, you see Stafford got hurt.
I did. I didn't see the severity of it.
Hamstring. No ruling yet, but they're not. It's not treated as no. Everything will be fine.
Like he hurt his
it's
hamstring.
Like, yeah, it's like let's monitor this situation. He's not practicing.
Honestly. You know what that means? It's Jimmy time, baby. It's Jimmy time.
Here comes
Come
Jimmy
on,
G.
man. Let the world see.
Look, and if Matthew Stafford isn't ready to go to start the season, week three in L.A., Niners at Rams. Oh, boy, Jimmy G.
Jimmy G against the 49ers.
Man, oh man, I hope that happens. I want to see that game. I want to see that game. Light Jimmy. They'll pick him off like they did every practice. Jimmy was my boy, too. I got that one wrong. I believed in Jimmy. I was like, nah, he's a good quarterback even without Kyle Shanahan.
Well, and then that's – so I guess I got Kyle Shanahan wrong. Because not only did he make magic with the last pick of the NFL draft, He made Jimmy Garoppolo look like a competent quarterback. Mm. Something no one else has been able to do. No one.
Well, you know.
He played a handful of games for Belichick.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how many. I know the Deflategate suspension, he played two and then got hurt.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else he did. I can't remember what else he did beside that.
I can't either.
Some people will tell you he went 14 and
well,
two or whatever it was.
Tom Brady felt that way. Tom Brady said, get him out of here. This guy's too good.
Tom Brady wanted him gone.
Or he just couldn't stand him. We never explore that.
Doesn't it matter? Doesn't matter.
Did you see the trailer for Aaron Hernandez?
I did.
It looked kind of fire.
Well, we thought that about Clipped.
We did.
And Clipped was, in fact, not fired.
Well, look, and here's...
So let's also get this. This is not going to be funny.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like this, we were like, oh, Clipped is funny. And then, like, real life happened. I was like, that's not funny. Even more real.
But now looking back at it, Doc throwing oranges at a wall is funny. until I get a clear explanation from the real Doc Rivers, I've got... That's funny. Was that a coping mechanism for him, or what was it? Like, I need to know. Who told him, like, who told the producers of this, Doc throws oranges at a wall?
The wife
or they
the
just
dad?
Made it up. I don't think the dad did. The dad didn't cooperate with this. Because if they did, they wouldn't have made him look so goofy on the show.
To be fair, everybody looked goofy, except for Chris Paul. And Doc Rivers, real like Lawrence Fishburne.
The problem with Lawrence is they sprayed this. Sometimes it was faint, and sometimes like someone a little heavy handed sprayer
in the same scene.
You have to have hair follicles to use the spray. They just sprayed it all over Lawrence Fishburne's head. Like,
That's a shoot, though. The only two people who didn't look goofy in there, to me, is Chris Paul and Doc Rivers. Everybody else was kind of comedic.
Yeah, the first two episodes where Blake is getting his hand held and walked around and all of these different things are happening. It's like, this is funny. And then the racism sets in, like, well...
And poor,
all right.
Poor Elgin Baylor that comes through.
Well, but yeah, Elgin Baylor in the produce section. Like, just the idea of Doc Rivers running into Elgin Baylor, you know, by grabbing some tomatoes is spectacular.
And then they had Elgin, and this could have been true, but then they had Elgin talking like almost like Get Out type thing. Like, he's in a trance. Uh-huh. And he's like, you're the new coach, huh? It's like, yo,
they were trying to sell the trauma of what he went through, and it was not working at all.
Yeah, so Aaron Hernandez, I mean, that, have you seen like one of those docs on him and everything like that?
Yeah, I've seen.
That's crazy, man. That was
I didn't. There was a series that I didn't watch yet, but yeah, I've seen some of the docs.
Hey, that was a wild boy, man. That was
the crazy.
Wild.
The Patriots getting like no flack for that.
Robert Kraft, even Bill
None.
Belichick.
It's not even a I don't remember what it was, but they just did one that Bill wouldn't be a part of, and they buried
like
him
the
on
Apple.
It.
The Apple
is
series?
That what it was?
I think it was on Apple.
Yeah, they apparently
the Amazon one.
Amazon.
Apparently, they buried Bill like through the whole thing and said he was the reason they had Aaron Hernandez.
Come on, man.
Bill didn't care about all that stuff he heard. He was like, just get me this kid. I want him.
I'm pretty sure that stuff in the doc was taken out of context. So I think it was Julian Edelman or someone else said, like, yeah, that's not like how it went down or what all. Like, they just took it out of context, like, just painted it on Bill in that doc.
Mm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, that I didn't watch it.
That one I might watch. I'm not watching.
To me, that feels like the worst one. But, well, that's the Brady one,
yeah.
Right?
And the only reason I'm not watching that is because it's 10 episodes. If it was four.
Well, I think the Amazon joint is a long doc, too, isn't it? Yeah.
Guess what I'm not watching?
The Last Dance just ruined documentaries. It's like, no, let's make everything 7 hours.
Bro, we give Derek Jeter 10 episodes.
Now, I will say this. The Derek Jeter one was all right. I don't think he needed that many episodes, but I watched it. I tried.
I left.
I thought it was pretty good.
Like, okay, I'm out. I think I had just got to where him and A-Rod was about to beef, Alex Rodriguez, and I was like, oh, here we go. And I literally have never seen another episode.
You did it, Kenny.
No, very true.
I was watching Modern Family last night.
Well, can't go wrong there.
It was on for, I didn't see it, but it was on for the next 4 hours.
Oh, it checks out. It checks out. Will Z joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Head over to MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320 for all your supplement needs. They got a gym in Roseville. They got a gym in Granite Bay as well. Map Training, a great place to get your fitness line on track. A variety of substances to choose from that are formulated by my man Greg here in the area. So, again, go to MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320. Well, you can get some of these all-day BCAAs for that cross-training stuff that you guys do over there in the Will Z household.
I need to get back into it. The garage became a mess, so it's been hard to work out in there.
Uh-oh.
Just became a landing spot for
that
everything
happens
once the baby came.
Yep, that happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Schedule came out today. I know you were looking forward to it the way that the rest of us were, but you dive into the numbers a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Than the rest of us do. So what numbers popped out from this 82-game schedule that dropped today?
Yeah, I think the first thing that stood out to me and what I'll always look for first is the back-to-backs. Because when it comes to opponents and like trying to figure out wins and stuff, that's all a little arbitrary, I think, at this point of the season. But like back-to-backs, that's a number. It can't lie to us. So 16 back-to-backs for the Kings, that's one more than they had last year. The Warriors led the league last year at 17. And I don't know how many games every team has. I started to go through during lunch, like every team's schedule and write them down, but that was taking forever. And I'm waiting for a good list where I can just copy paste everything into an Excel spreadsheet and then run some formulas and numbers. But the NBA site is like, you try and copy paste that over and it is not convenient at all. I did see someone said the average number of back-to-backs was 14.9. So the Kings are above average. I think that's just the nature of them being on the West Coast. But looking at their back-to-backs, breaking it down, they've got 6 away-away, 5 home-home, 3 away-home, and 2 home-away. So 5 kind of different locations in terms of road and home. But if you look at them, a lot of them make sense logistically. Like there are games where the Kings will play the Warriors away. So they'll play at Golden State and then play someone at home. So you can tell that the NBA tried to make it make sense with the back-to-backs for the Kings. Another one where they're playing the Clippers in LA and then play back home. So there aren't too many that are terrible in terms of travel. The worst ones really are those first few at the beginning of the season where you're playing in Portland and then at home against the Jazz. And then you've got in Atlanta, in Toronto. And I think that's like a 4-game stretch. So within that first 6 games or so. Other than that, the back-to-backs, it's something that it's fun to talk about, but every team is going to have those schedule differences. And it's kind of a bummer just to see the Kings once again with that higher number. We'll see. I'm sure it'll come out with every team's, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Kings are like tied for the most or the most. But I think we're all used to that in Sacramento.
I started the show, you know, talking about how, you know, the schedule release shouldn't change how people view this team or what they think their record will be or how many games they can win or whatever the case may be. That's just how I feel about it. I mean, everybody's entitled to however they feel. Do you kind of like look at the schedule and maybe look at, oh, this 6-game road trip or this number of back-to-backs and feel different about what their win total could be as opposed to how you felt, you know, the day DeMar DeRozan signed? Or, you know, does it not really matter that much to you at all?
No, I'm with you, Kenny. Like, it's every team is going to have hard parts of the schedule. It's just something that I think I get excited about it because it's something new to look at. We're at that point of the offseason where we're like craving something to do in terms of basketball. But in the end, I feel exactly the same today as I did about the roster and the team yesterday. Like, they're going to play all the teams about the same. Maybe one slight caveat to that, and that's the Pelicans, where they only play New Orleans 3 times. And the way the span that they play them is really weird. They're all in February. 3 of 4 games are against the Pelicans. So you're getting them in like a week of the schedule, which compared to last year when they were all over the schedule and we saw them over and over and over again, it's going to be so different than last year.
Yeah. Last year was kind of spread out throughout the season, ironically, because they had the back-to-back early in the season. Then they didn't play them. I don't think they played them until the in-season tournament, which was like a month later, the NBA Cup. And then they played them, that was a Sunday, maybe a month and a half later. And then they played them right before the end of the season, and obviously in the play-in. So we got those ass beatings all throughout the year.
Yep. Yeah, a Sunday. I'm so impressed with your – I don't know how you remember stuff like that, Kenny.
Instead of just one week and a half stretch, it just spanned the entire season.
Got your ass whooped from October to April.
That's it.
Ugh. But it's something that James always talks about. Like, if you're looking at a team in 1 week of the season, one injury, even rotations, we saw the Kings change their rotation throughout the season. Like, teams go through different variations throughout an 82-game season. So depending on where the two teams are at, it could be a very plus matchup for the Kings if someone on the Pelicans gets hurt or vice versa. It's just kind of weird when you have all of your games against one team in that short amount of time. And I hope that the Kings can get at least one. I feel like all the Sacramento fans will lose their minds if they go 0-3 against them again. But at the same time, I think that the Kings match up a lot better without Valanciunas on the Pelicans just because of his ability to guard Sabonis one-on-one.
Do you have any feelings about the number of nationally televised games, at least as it stands now?
I don't. I think it makes sense. I mean, you have to make the playoffs in order to expect to at least maintain the amount of national TV games. For me, I know that I'm going to be able to watch them all no matter what, and that's kind of all that matters to me. I don't think even if the Kings were on national TV more that we would get the respect that other teams get. So I'm not really worried about the smaller number there. If they're good, they'll get flexed into more games. So just go out and prove it. And if not, just continue to be that underdog and take teams by surprise. I don't think that it'll have any outcome on the way that they play. Therefore, I don't really care about it that much.
I will say this. I agree with both of you guys. Like me personally, I'm not tripping on it at all. But I'll ask both of you guys this. Do you think that the lack of national TV exposure, even though it shouldn't, may play a role in how much somebody sees De'Aaron Fox if he's trying to be an All-NBA guy or DeMontis Sabonis? So because of that, that would be like the negative.
Absolutely.
Them. I mean, like it don't matter to us, but these guys are trying to get these accolades and potentially get this.
And these people who pretend like they watch the league don't.
Right. They're not really watching League Pass like that. Mm-hmm. If it's on TNT, then they watch it. And then, like, even if they're not watching League Pass like that, if it's a Wednesday or a Thursday and there's a national game on and the Kings are playing locally, so to speak,
right,
they're just going to watch the national game. Right. They ain't going to watch both games. Right. So that's something that, you know, kind of sucks for them, for those guys, that the De'Aaron Foxes, the DeMontis Saboniss, Keegan, Mully, whatever the case may be. And hopefully people smarten up and are doing a little bit more homework this year.
Especially with the way this team is constructed. Like, if you're box score watching with this team, I don't think it'll paint the whole picture because they are so well-rounded. I don't think that we'll have – like, De'Aaron isn't going to score 30 a night, I don't think. There's too many offensive weapons on this team that they're going to spread out the scoring throughout the games. So if you have everyone who's voting on the All-Star or any national voting, is going to be tough because the perception of the stats is going to be very different from the reality if you're just kind of looking from afar. So, yeah, you convinced me, Kenny. I totally agree with you.
Well, to be fair, I agree with you guys. I just think that might hurt those guys.
Yeah, no, we know that's a thing, but if the Kings had 82 nationally televised games, I don't know that it wouldn't still be a thing, to be honest with you.
What was what do you call Terrence Davis again? Terrence.
What was Terrence Davis's name?
I don't remember that one.
Oh, man. And then what was Keegan's name? Keegan Bradley.
Keegan Bradley. It was definitely Keegan Bradley.
they called Trey Lyles what? They called him the music guy. Oh, man.
I don't remember all of these. I do remember them getting them all wrong.
Harris.
Was it Terrence Harris? Is that who it was?
That's what someone said in the chat. Yeah.
And was that the night that he went nuts that they called that man Terrence Harris?
He had a 30 piece on national TV.
Kevin Lyles.
Classic.
They had 82 games. They'd still be calling these people not their names.
Charles Barkley called him DeAndre Fox. He called that man DeAndre Fox.
To
be fair to Charles, I know that he knows De'Aaron Fox's name and who De'Aaron Fox is, but that is such a Kings thing to mix up those guys' names.
DeAndre Fox.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A particular game you're looking forward to, Will?
Not really. I've been looking so big picture at the schedule that I haven't looked at specific games or matchups. I think the Thunder, I'm intrigued to see how the Thunder continue to grow, and the Kings kind of had their number last year. Yeah. So I'm interested to see how the two of them match up. And I think the Timberwolves as well. I like that opening night game for them a lot, where it's right out the gate. You got the Timberwolves. So you got to be ready from day one, from the jump. And I think DeMar DeRozan just being on the team makes me feel better about so many things. Yeah. Just he is so prepared always that I think that that will kind of help a lot of the Kings' issues with the back-to-backs and the road games and everything that we saw the Kings struggle with being ready to play in the first quarters. Just him being there. So I'm interested to see, like, first quarter, game one, how do they look against a top contending team in the West?
Yeah, I can't wait for that game. I really can't. I think that game and the energy that's going to be in the Golden 1 Center is going to be epic. I think it's going to be epic. There are so many people. We would go down there, whether I think this was after the draft, like we were doing some stuff downtown, and you know, you talk to some of the store owners and you just cross people, you know, whether at a concert or something like that. And they're like, yo, can't wait for this year, man. It's going to be like, everybody is so excited and they can't wait for that game. And I love that. That's the first game of the season. You know what I mean? And that's where I think that energy is just going to be, it's going to be off the charts for that game, off the charts.
And then the other one, now that I think about it more, that I'm interested in is the Celtics. So, like, how do you match up, similar to the Timberwolves, how do you match up against the elite teams in the NBA? Because they got destroyed 119 to 144 last year in the first matchup. And then it was close in the second, 100 to 101. But, like, can you beat those elite teams? And Boston, obviously, coming off the championship, I think will be the ultimate test of that. So we know, I think they proved last year that they could manageably beat teams that were worse than them, but I don't think they proved that they could consistently beat teams that were better than them. So that's kind of why that Timberwolves and Celtics matchup stand out to me.
Well, they also struggled to beat teams that stunk.
That's true. That was a problem. Too much.
That's one of
maybe
those.
Maybe I'm just remembering wrong.
No, yeah, and all of this happened within the context of last season. And one thing Kenny and I spent some time on earlier was the road and away splits. Because one thing we knew going into the schedule release is there were going to be 41 at the Golden 1 Center and 41 outside of the Golden 1 Center. And, you know, Kenny has high expectations for this team. I think a lot of people have high expectations for this team. You know, 50-plus wins with the acquisition of DeMar DeRozan. And those type of teams need to be good at home, and they need to be, you know, good on the road. But they need to be 50-plus wins. We're starting to talk about really good territory. And that's something that Sacramento hasn't really been at home. Certainly over the last 2 years, weren't bad or far from bad. But they weren't, especially given how loud that arena is, how much players are willing to talk about that arena. It didn't really translate in the win-loss category.
Yeah, and it's something they just have to be better at, where the Sacramento crowds are too good for it not to be an advantage for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about Golden 1 Center that other teams shoot the lights out of the ball. I don't know if it's just the Kings defense or if it's the sight lines, but there's something about it that they just haven't been able to get over and get into that super home court advantage. That to me, that to take that next step from a good to a great team, that's an easy thing that you can do, where you're looking at making slight adjustments in multiple places. Back to backs, you have to be better than 6-9. On the second nights of back-to-backs, and you have to be better at home. So if they do just those two teams, that's an extra, what, 5-6 wins? Yeah. Just by kind of increasing those two categories.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know if I think this is what you were talking about earlier, but somebody has the breakdown of all the back-to-back games.
Oh, nice.
And the numbers of them. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other teams that have 16 back-to-backs.
Wow. It's
the Wizards, the Thunder, the Clippers, the Rockets, and the Cavs. The least amount is 13, and I'm not going to go through all the teams, but like Boston, the Lakers, Dallas, they have 13.
And that's the least, you said?
That's the least
amount. 13.
So it seems like it kind of like the way it's mapped out, there's like six teams with 16. It looks to be like 10. There's like 12 teams with 15 back to backs, three or four with 14, and then like four or five with 13. So
that's pretty even overall. Like, I can't be too mad about 16 when those are the circumstances. I think this is just the downside of living on the West Coast, is the NBA is trying to maximize the Kings' travel, and that's just one of the things that comes with that.
Sorry, I just seem to have stumbled across the video of Nikola Jokic dancing on a table.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my man's having fun. He's dancing and everything. I want to unmute because it looks like he's dancing to Not Like Us, so I just want to see if... No, it's not.
What is that?
I don't know, but he's having the time of his life.
That's all that matters.
If I did that at SR Prime, they'd tell me to get down. My man's having a blast. Enjoy Nikola Jokic while you can, because I don't think he's playing till 40.
Nah, I don't think so either.
I think my man's just going to be, and he's not doing a retirement tour either.
Jokic is just going to disappear.
He's 100%. Mm-hmm. He's just going to like text the Nuggets. Hey, I think I'm not coming back.
Text the Nuggets. Not Woj, but just the employer. He's just
going to text the Nuggets. Like, I'm not coming back, guys. I'm gonna stay with the horses. My man left Paris. My man got his gold medal, walked out of the arena, got on a jet, and went to his horses.
I'm out.
I ain't mad. I'm telling y'all I ain't mad at Nikola Jokic for that.
If I were a Nuggets fan, I'd be super excited to see that. Like, you want him enjoying his offseason and relaxing, and if that's how he does it, that's great.
Well, yeah, when you win 3 MVPs and a championship, you can pretty much do what you want.
You can. You can, for sure. I will say this, though. I think this is... however he gets ready is however he gets ready. It's whatever. But if I was being cynical or like a bad fan or whatever, well, this is probably it. Like this, I hope, enjoy yourself, but I hope we're also doing everything we can to get one last run out of this whole thing, because this is probably it, and I need everybody locked in. That would be my first thought.
Sure.
I don't have forever here with this Nuggets team. Like, this is probably it. So let's make sure we're giving it our best chance. I have no reason to believe that Jokic isn't, right, and won't be ready to go. But that's what I'd be thinking about.
Yeah, he definitely will be. Will, we appreciate you, my friend, as always. Thank you so much. Will Z of SI. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, he's
Will Z. National Media's Will Z. of SI.com. Thank you, my
Thanks,
friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it as always.
No problem, Will.
Will with this.
Have a good one, guys.
His hat clip.
Well, you know, I mean.
I got sidetracked.
Get you one, too.
Did you see the, what for what?
Get you a hat and then get you one of the blips.
I look stupid in hats.
Nah, I disagree.
Bro, look how big my ears are. I look ridiculous.
Look how big my damn nose is.
That's a good reference right there. That's a good reference. Now do X-Pac in blackface.
Well, no.
Okay.
Do that. Is that on the network? That's not on the network no more, huh?
I think they removed it. I think when it moved to NBC, NBC said, no, not a good idea. We'll remove this. Now, I don't know if the Katie Vick episode is still there.
Which one?
Katie Vick was the dead girlfriend of Kane that Triple H had sex with.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. I don't know if NBC decided that was too much or not, but
Attitude Era, baby.
Why is Triple H people always having these interactions with these women?
People really clamor for that era.
The Attitude honestly sucks, it's other than the awful. Rock, Stone Cold, and like Triple H.
That's it.
Other than the Katie Vick stuff.
That's it.
The best era is probably Now or Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah, Hunter's kind of part of the ruthless aggression era. He's a part of the...
Deshaun came back during that time, too.
Yep, yep.
Ruthless, I was gone. I was gone, so I can't
say. That was the emergence of, like, Cena, Brock Lesnar, yeah. Kurt Angle. That's where the brand split started. I think Edge became a star in that era.
I mean...
So there's Eddie Guerrero. There's good stuff there.
Unpopular, maybe, but the birth of Raw era, I thought that was a good era of wrestling. With Razor, Diesel, Shawn.
That's an unpopular take right there. 93? Like, no, you did. You named, and now named T.L. Hopper.
No, we're not going to do
Doink the
that.
Clown, Duke the Dumpster Drosse, Isaac Yankum DDS. I believe they brought Tony Atlas back as like...
Tony Atlas.
I believe they brought Tony Atlas back as like... Mufasa or like some sort of Lion King gimmick. No, that's a great era of wrestling. Nah, Kenny,
well,
sure.
Maybe, well, you know me, I'm only watching the stars, but yeah, I mean, those were the stars right there, though.
We got Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine.
That was crazy. Ahmed Johnson had, he was doing his thing for a little bit. We didn't know what he was saying, but he was doing his thing.
How have you not, okay, this is a good call. We got Bastion Booger in that era. What are you talking about?
I thought the birth of, maybe it's just the birth of Raw, because that was, I thought that was really
the cool. Main event of the very first Raw was The Undertaker versus Damian Demento.
Well, I don't know why Damian Demento was there.
Well, this is the era of wrestling you're talking about.
But look what I'm saying. I'm saying Undertaker, Shawn, Diesel, Razor, Bret.
No, that's fine.
That's some heavy hitter.
And I'm saying T.L. Hopper, Isaac Yankum. I think King Kong Bundy might have been around somewhere.
He might have been. He might have been. So,
Irwin R. Scheister.
The beginning of the Cena era, mm-hmm. out of the Attitude era.
Mm-hmm.
I just named those five. They got five mm-hmm. bigger stars in that time.
Well, the good news is you still have Shawn Michaels, a better Shawn Michaels.
Facts.
Yeah,
I don't know about it. Don't say that. Shawn
Michaels
kid.
In the two. No, way, but no, don't do this.
Lost
don't
my
do this.
Smile,
don't
Shawn Michaels.
No,
that's the
no.
best Shawn Michaels. He was on that Raw at the Radio City Music.
What is your boy?
You weren't even around at this time. About? We had the greatest match of all time between him and Taker.
That's not even the same Shawn. Stop.
Done.
Stop. That's not even the same Shawn. The Shawn in the Cena era is an entirely different Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, you're telling me that Shawn is better than the Heartbreak Kid?
Yes.
Put on banger match after banger match.
I disagree.
Oh, sir. I'm sorry. Give me Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels.
Literally every year.
Marty Jannetty.
I think he had him. Didn't he have Chris Jericho that was good too?
Yeah.
Y'all talk about these matches. And you know I ain't no match savant. That's not what I do. I'm talking about the character of the Heartbreak Kid against that Shawn Michaels.
Pull up.
Heartbreak Kid, way better. That's why we love Shawn Michaels. Pull up. That Shawn Michaels.
No, we love Shawn Michaels because of the DX Shawn Michaels. Pull up Shawn Michaels doing the promo in Canada in the suit.
2000 Shawn Michaels is the greatest super kick of all time when he laid out Shelton Benjamin, too.
This, by far, your worst take in history.
Yeah.
This is your worst take.
Go fire up the network, bro.
Completely disagree.
Oh, this is absurd.
Complete. And
are you working?
And doesn't.
Is this, he's working.
And doesn't that include the ladder match? Don't I get the ladder match in there?
You get the ladder match in there.
Come on, man. Come on now. Don't do that.
This is ridiculous. No,
don't do
2000
that.
Shawn gave us the pop against when they were in Canada or whatever. He played Bret's music.
That's what I'm talking
There's
about.
Moment after moment.
The promo in Canada.
And you're being real liberal with it. 2000 is low key still Attitude Era.
No, it wasn't 2000s. Yeah, 2000s. So. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this, dude. Hey,
Casey, come
as Jesse
on.
Would say, take a laugh.
Lost my smile, Shawn, is the best Shawn.
Oh, my God. What?
That's Shawn.
This is, that, bro.
No, stop.
This is
stop.
Your.
That's Shawn. No.
This didn't piss me off like when you called me a pop DJ, but this is an incredible take right here. You know what you did? You know why he's acting like this? He didn't get a good night's sleep. You need to get over to Matthews Mattress. Take advantage of their Labor Day sales event right now. Huge savings. Get that Beauty Rest Black. I've been telling you to do it. Get it with the adjustable head base. They've got all of this stuff on sale right now. You can get 60-month special financing with zero interest, no money down, on approved credit with equal monthly payments. You could do all this now. I'm going to tell everybody, find the location nearest you over at MatthewsMattress.com. They got one in Elk Grove. You need to stop there on your way home because clearly you're not getting enough sleep.
Stop it.
We'll come back.
I can't believe you guys are saying this. That's
crazy. You're crazy, not us. Y'all crazy.
You are alone on this.
Y'all crazy.
It's ESPN 1320. Already hung up.
Cool. Let's talk more about Kenny's take.
It got stronger during the commercial break.
It didn't.
No, look, that era of wrestling wasn't good. There are good wrestlers.
That's what I'm thinking. The stars.
The stars. I can name two great matches in that era. Well, okay, three.
That's your bag. I can't.
That's three. You have Razor and Shawn twice, mm-hmm. at 10 and at SummerSlam 95. Mm-hmm. And then you have the 94 steel cage match with Bret and Owen.
Okay. That's not my bag. I can't go to the great matches. I'm just talking about the stars.
Yeah, Legend Kayla, Randy Orton, and the Ruthless Aggression.
So let's do this.
You can go 10.
Let's do this then.
Stars with that.
Shawn became a bigger star later.
Wrestling was bigger later too, though. And that's after the Attitude Era.
Razor and Diesel became bigger stars as Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Very true. But they were stars. Like, it was a big
deal.
They
were known.
Because of the stars they were.
They were known. They were far bigger stars in WCW.
Very true. Very true.
Owen, God bless him. Great wrestler. Like, 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Yoko just got overweight and it. That was, he just couldn't, he, Yoko was phenomenal. He couldn't do anything after that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Brett ended in 97.
Yeah. Undertaker.
And you, oh, now.
He's with us. He's with us, by the way. He's with us.
So you're saying the best
Taker.
Taker. I don't know. Taker had a lot of, he was great the whole time.
I feel like Taker got better after Kane in October. Because it opened up different elements to his character, and it kind of fluctuated where some of it was good, some of it was bad. But
to be fair, and you know, you guys know I'm not like the biggest Undertaker.
You know, he
fan.
Wants feuded.
He was great the entire time.
You know that, like, in this era that you're talking about, the Undertaker. So in '97, you have the Undertaker versus Kane, his long lost brother who was burned in a building, and he came back for revenge. And they had an inferno match and matches. They had all of this. And Paul Bearer was sleeping with the Undertaker's mom and all of this stuff. In the era of wrestling that you're talking about, Undertaker feuded with Kama Mustafa because Kama stole the urn and melted it down into a chain.
Casey's a real big Giant Gonzalez guy.
Giant Gonzalez, well, he was that time. I didn't like Giant Gonzalez. But we had what was the SummerSlam? The SummerSlam with
Mabel,
the two Undertakers.
94.
And there was another one. There was a co-main event, right? What was the co-main event?
The cage match that I just referenced.
It was Owen and Bret.
Yeah. It was SummerSlam 94.
Was that the same one?
That's when Walter Payton was with Razor and It was Razor, Shawn, Diesel in some sort of match. I can't remember if like X-Pac was in it or what. But
this ain't gonna help my case. But I'm just, in the matter of fairness, I got to speak about it. Was this the same SummerSlam of Lex Luger and Tatanka?
Lex Luger and Tatanka. I don't remember that if that was crazy. SummerSlam or not. Yeah, dude. Yeah, you're talking about the Lex Express era.
Yeah, we won.
But what are you doing right now?
We won.
Was Lex Luger on Raw?
Yes. Okay. He left in 95. Okay. He left when the first episode of Nitro aired, which I think was September of 95.
To be fair, I was gone from wrestling during when Jesse got introduced to it. That's the era we're talking about. So you can have your Rey Mysterios and all that other stuff. That's fine.
Whoa, Rey Mysterio
can't compete with Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah. We didn't even name Ray either.
You know I ain't going to name Ray.
Like, who said Ray Mysterio?
He held the strap, didn't he?
You're the... Well, he
That's
did.
What I'm saying. You he can did. Have your Ray Mysterios. That's good. He did. It's cool.
But see, well, yeah, Ray's still good, though. Yeah, he's just not top five. Like, he's better than Giant Gonzalez.
Like, Ray, like...
Giant Gonzalez in it. And we had... Oh, I don't even know if I should bring it up.
Nah, say it.
I don't know if I should bring it up, man.
If it's bad, I'll dump it.
I'm going to just say it because... It's just part of the story. We have Prime Sonny.
Well, you had Sonny. How's that working out for you?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how's Prime Sonny working out for you? And all Sonny did was introduce us to Sable, who in the Attitude Era took off. And we ain't even talk about Jackie yet. I've seen more of Jackie than I've seen of anybody.
We all did. We all did. The, early Sable, though, Sable was doing her thing before Attitude Era, though.
She was, but it got, Attitude Era Sable.
Yeah, it went to another level. It went to another level. I ain't going to get it from
Attitude Era Sable just kept getting bigger and bigger. It was crazy. Every week.
It's so funny because like the Ruthless Aggression Era was great. And then Lord Tensai shows up and it's just bad for about 7 years. And then we finally picked it up.
They really had the dude who played Albert come out and beat John Cena on the first night.
Cena immediately puts him over.
And no one bought it. Cena doesn't get enough recognition for the fact they asked him to put over Albert. He does it. They asked him to put over Sheamus.
Oh.
Like a month into the company. He does it.
Cena low-key owed him, though, after he took down the whole Nexus or whatever that one time, right?
Sheamus wasn't in Nexus.
No, when Cena took them down, though.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah. Cena.
Super Cena.
Cena single-handedly destroyed, like, a five-month build to a program.
He ended about four careers that night.
They went to John. I think it was Edge. I can't remember if it was Edge or Jericho. But they tell the story. They went, John, this is a bad idea. This is going to ruin. Like, you're going to kill the faction off. And John just goes, nah, it'll be fine. And he goes out there and beats all of them, comes to the back and goes, hey, I think you guys might have been right. Oh, my God. I love wrestling.
Look, I'm looking right now. I mean, Jeff Jarrett don't
Bro,
get no
are
love?
You, no, he
you
doesn't.
Better stop.
Are
oh,
you
serious? Gosh.
So Jeff Jarrett ain't no good?
No, Jeff Jarrett is fine. You comparing Jeff Jarrett to who? Kurt Angle? No, Rey Mysterio? No, well, Shawn Michaels? Don't do that. Yeah, I don't
Michaels
even like Rey Mysterio.
He was here. Well, he was with us.
My Shawn Michaels will is better than your Shawn Michaels.
Well, get the video game and we'll find out.
Bro, Jeff Jarrett I'm is Ruthless Aggression Lance Storm, bro. We're not doing that.
Double J Jeff Jarrett.
I can't believe you are still fighting for this point.
Jeff Jarrett's nasty.
We ain't even brought up like Batista
That's
or
facts.
Randy Orton
That's
or none
Batista
of this.
Or Randy Orton. That's not the best Randy Orton, no, but it's cool.
It's cool. Oh, now...
It's cool.
Now you want to fight
so,
over
so that's the best Randy Orton?
No, it's not. That's but saying. That's what I'm telling you about Shawn Michaels. That's
well,
not the best Shawn Michaels.
You guys are wrong about that one.
You don't trust me.
Kid.
That's fine. Call Ace. I know
the
you.
Heartbreak
Ace,
kid.
Ace's word is the gospel. Call
text
Ace.
Him right now.
Tell him about this conversation we have. He might disown you.
What's the best version of Randy Orton, by the way?
The legend
Apex,
killer.
Yeah. Well,
wait, isn't that Ruthless Aggression?
I think the Apex Predator is.
Actually, he's right.
That's Ruthless Aggression.
The legend killer was Ruthless Aggression.
Me, he was dope as the legend killer. When he was punting, that was the best Randy Orton.
I'm not going to lie.
When he would snap.
When he punted Stephanie, that was pretty crazy.
When he would like snap and like go into a different place. And then
he would do that.
Like, oh my gosh, what did I do? That was
Reese just threw in a vote for Legend Killer and Randy Orton too. So we're up,
bro. You are losing so bad right now. This is crazy.
What does this kid know?
This is crazy. All right, I don't even know.
I'm asking Ace right now. What's the best Shawn Michaels pre or post lost his smile? Or no, I'll say back injury.
Pre or post back injury? Okay. Oh, bro, he's gonna respond in 2 seconds. This is absurd. I can't believe you have fought this for like 13 straight minutes. Did you see this report from Variety about the Madden movie?
I saw it. Yeah, isn't it like Nicolas Cage or something?
Nicolas Cage is going to play John Madden?
I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's going to work.
All right, man. Like what? I mean, Nicolas Cage is a... Okay.
A talented actor, I guess.
All right.
Nicolas
salute.
Cage.
I guess.
True or false? I'm not a big Nicolas Cage historian, but he's never done anything better than Face Off. I don't know. What's the one where they're the flying Elvises? What's that movie?
People love National Treasure. That's not
my
thing.
Love National Treasure.
I feel like that's the one he gets associated with
that's
most.
That's good. Yeah.
Face Off is my favorite.
Is he in The Rock with Sean Connery?
He might be.
That's Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah. He might be. Like I said, that's not really my bag.
Your friend that you went to school with loves Face Off. Like, he could recite the movie.
Well, I don't know if it's a good movie, but I've seen it often.
It's not good at all.
The premise
of it is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Hilarious.
And I heard that there's like a Face Off 2.
They could bring that back. I'm okay with that.
All right, dude.
They threw in Con Air. Con Air's not a bad movie if you've seen it.
Yeah, I heard Con Air was pretty good. I've seen
that a couple times. It's good.
He's a very unique actor, and seeing him play John Madden will be very interesting.
I want to see how this goes down.
That will be very interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, you boys, in a game that is moving significantly quicker than the Oakland A's did, the Giants are up 6-0, looking to get, correct me if I'm wrong, this is their first win against the Braves.
Trying not to get swept.
Well, I know it's and funny. if they close this out, I don't want to mess up your squad. Does this put them back at 500?
Yes. Well,
because didn't they fall below 500 yesterday?
I believe, I'll check. But I thought they were three games up.
If only we could see
at 500, this would put them up.
Okay. My bad. My mistake.
I think it's time to write those guys off.
The killer for them is they're not.
No, they're 61-62 right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they had lost, I think you're right, they had lost the last game of...
That's right, they lost against Detroit.
Because they lost four in a row.
The Giants have been chasing their tail all season, I feel.
It's just, we talked about it before.
You gained a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I hope for something different, but they kind of are who they are. They're going to hover around 500 the entire season. And they're not going to fall, they're not terrible where they'll fall a bunch of games below, but they're not good enough to go a bunch of games above 500. And that's just who it'll be. One thing that always gets me though, that I always think about when I'm like, I'm gonna write them off, is that stat that came out at the All-Star break where they've got the easiest schedule, quote unquote, of all the teams left in Major League Baseball. And off the top of my head, I know that includes like three against the Marlins, three against the White Sox. So like we're getting to the point where you can start like counting games. Like there's not a lot of games left, and yeah, you play the Marlins, you play the White Sox, you play the A's. Everything else that is kind of difficult, but I don't think they have the easiest schedule left anymore. I'll put it to you that way.
I got you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,